be able to be in the house of the Lord. Seems like it's been some time since we had an opportunity to share and be blessed with you. But we thank you for the prayers that you prayed. Thank God that my wife is with us tonight. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. She had all but given up the ghost. Amen. But she hadn't given up. Praise the Lord. Amen. You got to have the want to. Hallelujah. How many of you got the want to tonight? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And not only it's good to have been friends all these years, but still be friends. Amen. He knows me so well that I'm glad he doesn't share everything that he knows about me. Amen. But thank God for a friend. Amen. A friend in need is a friend indeed. Praise God. And the threefold cord is not easily broken. What binds us together is, amen, not only that we have an affinity, amen, for some of the same things, but that we have a God. Hallelujah. We have a Heavenly Father. Amen. Who is that common bond of fellowship, common bond of strength, courage, inspiration. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful for that tonight. Amen. Praise God. I thank God that I am forgiven. Thank God that I am forgiven tonight. Amen. I thank God that He saved me. And because He saved me, amen, I'm glad to be a Christian. Amen. But I could not, amen, be glad tonight of being a Christian if it had not been for the mercy and the grace and the love of God that He bestowed upon me, a sinner. Hallelujah. I was lost and undone without God, even though I am a fourth generation apostolic. I was just as lost as anybody that's ever been lost without God until Jesus Christ came into my life. And I'm thankful tonight for Jesus. Amen. That He is my Father. And that He is my God. Amen. And that I feel His presence in this house tonight. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of God. Hallelujah. I feel His holy presence. Amen. Because He is in the midst of His people tonight. Amen. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And He dwells within us. Thank God, thank God. Somebody shout hallelujah tonight. How many of you came to have church? Praise God, praise God. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be preaching on the topic of the goodness and severity of God. The goodness and severity of God. We're going to take our text from Romans 11 and 22. We're also going to be reading some verses of Scripture in the Old Testament. But our God is a God of mercy and grace, but He's a God of righteousness. Amen. And God, amen, hates sin as much as He loves righteousness. God hates everything that is evil, everything that is corruptible, everything that is tainted by sin. Amen. Romans 11, 22, if you have your Bibles, therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. Reading, on those who fail, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in His goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The goodness and the severity of God. God is good. Amen. Everything about God speaks of His love and His mercy and His compassion. That we serve a God that will withhold no good thing from them that love Him. The Bible says all things work together for the good. Does it not? To them who love God and are the called according to His purpose. But I want you to know that you need to consider not only the goodness of God, but the Bible says consider the goodness and severity of God. The same God that made the heavens and all that is in heaven, that prepared streets of gold and walls of jasper, is the same God that created hell for the devil and his angels. Because God cannot look upon sin, that it is not His desire to behold iniquity. That He is a holy God, and He desires His people to be a holy people. That heaven is a wonderful place, that there is no way that we can describe the beauty of heaven or the splendor of all that God has promised in His Word. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither is it entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. There are no words that can describe the glory of God. The Bible says that no one can look upon God and live, because the glory of God is beyond anything that we can even imagine. That when Moses beheld the glory of God, as he glimpsed God as he fleetingly passed by him in the cleft of the rock, that Moses was not allowed to see anything but the fleeting, the passing of God. The King James says he saw the hinder parts of God. But even the hinder parts of God caused Moses to glow with a radiance was so glorious that they had to put a veil over his face, because the people could not even bear to look upon the face of Moses because of the exposure that he had had to the glory of God. Our glorious is our God. But the Bible that speaks of that same glory and that majesty says that our God is a consuming fire. When Moses beheld the burning bush, he was afraid because that the bush seemed to be on fire, but it was not consumed. Amen. Because God was in the midst of that bush. God spoke to Moses out of that bush, and he said that you need to take off your shoes because this is holy ground. I want you to know that God, amen, sanctifies everything that He touches. Amen. When Isaiah said, I am a man of unclean lips and I cannot go, Lord, the Bible says the angel of the Lord took the tongs and took a live coal from the altar of the Lord and touched it to Isaiah's lips and purged him of his iniquity. Or we may be flesh, and we may be born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We may be unworthy of the glory of God. We may be unworthy of His righteousness. We may be unworthy of His majesty. But oh, thank God that one day God reached down and He touched me and He touched you and He purged us of our uncleanness. He made us pure and white and holy, that we might have fellowship, amen, with the Most High God. Behold, amen, the goodness and the severity of God. The Bible says on those who fell, severity. Amen. It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. There are some things that angers God. The Bible says, amen, that God was wroth. Amen. That means He was very angry. There are some things that angers the Lord. When He saw that they were turning the house of God into a den of thieves, He made Himself a cord, a whip out of cords, and He drave the money changers out of the temple. Amen. And He quoted the scripture, "The zeal of thine house has eaten me up." I want you to know God is serious when it comes to living for Him. That God is serious when it comes to reaching lost souls. That when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can't add to and you can't take away, lest you should come under the judgment, amen, and the wrath of Almighty God. Because our God is a God of holiness and a God of truth. Amen. So consider the goodness and the severity of God to those upon whom He fell severity. But toward you and toward me, toward you that have known His grace and that have known His mercy, He has extended to you goodness. He has extended to you grace. Amen. He has given to you the gift of eternal life. And the Bible says, otherwise you also will be cut off if you do not continue in His goodness. Amen. It's not the one that starts out in a race, but it's the one that endures unto the end. Amen. That one is going to be saved. Amen. It's the one that crosses the finish line. Amen. That receives the prize. We're running a race, that we're in a battle against sin and against a temptation, against the world, against the devil, and against the forces of evil around us. But our God has given us authority. Our God has already given us what we need. He said, greater is He that's within you than he that is within the world. The devil would destroy God's people. The devil would cause you to stumble and fall and to find, amen, damnation. But God has called you to victory, to righteousness, and to salvation. Can you say praise the Lord? We are not as those that have no hope in this world. Amen. Those that are in this world that do not know the mercy of God, that have never experienced the grace of God, there awaiteth them the fiery judgment of hell, a lake of fire that burns, amen, forever and ever. Amen. There's a survey was taken not too long ago of those that believed in heaven and those that believed in hell. And there was a goodly number that believed that there was a heaven. But there was a very, very small number that believed that there was a literal burning hell. Amen. That burned forever and ever. There are those that would tell us that there really is no place called hell. That there is no lake of fire. That there is no devil. That there really isn't any right or any wrong. It's all in the eye of the beholder. But I want you to know tonight, amen, just as there is a God in heaven, there is a devil that would destroy you. The Bible says that Satan walketh to and fro in the earth like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and he wants to destroy you. Jesus said, don't fear him that can destroy the body only, but fear him that can destroy the body and the soul in hell. Behold the goodness and the severity of God. One of the most amazing stories in the Bible is the saga of a wicked king by the name of Manasseh. Manasseh reigned for over 55 years as the king of the southern kingdom of Judah. And most of you have heard the name Manasseh. And all that you perhaps remember about Manasseh is that he was a very wicked king. That he was a very wicked man who reigned a very, very long time. I don't know if there was other kings that ever reigned as long as Manasseh reigned as the king of Judah. You know, I was looking through and studying the different kings of Israel and kings of Judah, and in Israel there was not a single one of the kings, not one, that was a good king. Every king of the northern kingdom of Israel was an evil ruler who caused Israel to sin greatly. But there were many good kings in Judah, but Manasseh was not one of them. Manasseh was one that caused Israel to sin more than all of the kings of the Amorites, the Bible says. But Manasseh had a very godly father by the name of Hezekiah. And we think fondly about Hezekiah when we are reminded of Hezekiah. We remember that Hezekiah was a man that trusted in the Lord. And he was instrumental in bringing a great spiritual revival to the land of Judah and to the people of God. And that was the father of Manasseh. And I wondered to myself, how could this young man, who had been reared in such a godly environment and had a father that loved the Lord, was of the lineage of David, how could he ever have gone to such depths of depravity and violence? How could he ever have been so incensed against the holy covenant? He was a man that brought judgment upon the land of Judah. He caused the whole land to be a stench in the nostrils of God. But as I was reading, I came across these verses in 2 Chronicles, if you have your Bible. In 2 Chronicles chapter 33, beginning with verse 9. The Bible says that so Manasseh seduced Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spoke to Manasseh. Amen. I don't know how many of you have ever had God to speak to you, but the Bible says the Lord spoke to Manasseh. And the Bible says he spoke to not only to Manasseh, but unto his people. But they would not listen. Therefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the army of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh with hooks and bound him with bronze fetters and carried him off to Babylon. Now when he was in affliction, he implored the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed to him, and he received his entreaty. He heard his supplication and brought him back to Jerusalem into his kingdom. And then this last sentence says, then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible says, and then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. One of the most evil men of his generation. Manasseh did not walk in the footsteps of his father. His father had destroyed the serpent that Moses made because it had become a stumbling block to Israel. And they had begun worshiping that serpent that God had caused Moses to make when they were in their wilderness wanderings. Sometimes even that, amen, that is ordained of God can be a stumbling block. If we, amen, give more honor to that than we do to the Lord God, amen, that saved us. They honored that object, and it became a symbol of idolatry. Hezekiah destroyed that serpent that had caused Israel to sin. He restored music. He restored worship. Amen. He reorganized the choir. Amen. That David, amen, had organized before. Amen. There was worship in the house of God. I thank God, amen, for people that love to worship and sing, amen, and lift up the name of the Lord. Amen. This was the environment that Manasseh had grown up into. He grew up in a revival home. Amen. They restored the feast days. In fact, in the days of his father, they celebrated the Passover. And they extended, they were having such a wonderful time that they even extended the Feast of Unleavened Bread from 7 days, which was required by the law. They decided to extend it for 14 days. Amen. They were enjoying the presence of God so much. Amen. That they said 7 days is not enough. And the Bible says that nothing like that had ever happened since the days of Solomon, when he had honored God in dedicating the house. And never again, or never after that, was there ever such a time as that celebration. They celebrated, amen, the feast that God had ordained. Amen. He restored, amen, the priesthood to their rightful place. And they brought the first fruits into the house of the Lord. And God honored Hezekiah and the things that he had done. Amen. And this young man, Manasseh, saw all of this. And then he also saw his father grow gravely ill. You know, you wonder why that God would smite somebody with sickness, amen, that is serving him so faithfully. Amen. We don't understand the ways of God. But one day when Hezekiah was 39 years old, he became sick. And God told Hezekiah, it's time to set your house in order because you're going to die. And Hezekiah, amen, turned his face to the wall and he began to plead with God. And he said, God, look at all the good things that I've done. Amen. You believe God blesses, amen, those that love him? Amen. He reminded God of all the reforms, all the things that he had done to restore worship and bring revival into the people of the Lord. And the Bible says that God heard the prayer of Hezekiah. Amen. And Hezekiah, amen, Lord, ask Hezekiah, what do you want me to do? Amen. Because Hezekiah wanted something to show him that God had answered his prayers. He said, what do you want me to do? He said, you want me to cause the sundial to go forward 10 degrees? Hezekiah said, no, that would be too easy. Amen. To move it forward, he said, I want you to cause the sundial to go backward 10 degrees. We're going to do some time travel here. Amen. And so the Bible said that God, amen, honored Hezekiah's prayer. And the Bible says that the sundial moved back 10 degrees. Amen. To confirm that God had heard the prayer of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was recovered, amen, from his sickness. Amen. And God added to him 15 more years. Hallelujah. Such is the mercy and the grace of God. God did not owe Hezekiah 15 years. Amen. But he gave it to him even though it was a mistake. Amen. It was a mistake because instead of Hezekiah giving the glory to God that God rightfully deserved, when the king of Babylon came to visit, after he had heard of such an astounding miracle, of the sun going back 10 degrees. Because you see, the Babylonians were astronomers. They knew something miraculous had caused the sun to go back 10 degrees. It wasn't just in Israel that the sun went back. Right. Even there's just one sun. It wasn't a Jewish sun. It wasn't a Babylonian sun. There was just one sun. The Babylonians were intrigued by that. They came to visit Hezekiah when they heard that he was recovered of his illness. And instead of him giving God the glory, instead, amen, of proclaiming the miracle that it was, amen, Hezekiah began to boast of his kingdom and began to show him all of his treasuries, of his gold and of his silver and of the house of the Lord. Amen. And because Hezekiah did that thing, God said, there's a day coming, Hezekiah, because you did not. I gave you an opportunity to give me honor. I gave you an opportunity to give me glory, but you did not take that glory and give it to me, but you took it unto yourself. He said, one day the king of Babylon is going to come and take the gold and the silver and all the precious things of the house of God and take them back into the land of Babylon. Because when you should have given me the honor, you took it into yourself. It would have been better for Hezekiah to have went on and died. Amen. But God gave him 15 years. Manasseh had saw all that. At age 12, Manasseh became a co-regent with his father. And around 697 B.C., at the age of 12 years old, amen, his father said, son, I'm going to make you a co-regent, and you're going to reign with me. He was too young. You know, you've got to be careful giving responsibility at too early of an age. You know, the Bible says, lay hands on no man suddenly. Sometimes conferring responsibility, amen, when people are not ready for responsibility, can be a hindrance. It can be detrimental. It can be damaging. At 12 years old, he became a ruler. And at 23, his father finally died. In 686 BC, at 23 years of age, he became the sole ruler of the kingdom of Judah. And instead of following in the footsteps of his father Hezekiah, the Bible says he was more wicked than all the kings of the Amorites. The Bible says in verse 12, now when he was in affliction, he implored the Lord his God, and he humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. He had done wickedly. He had caused the people of Israel, amen, to worship other gods besides the one true God. But when he was in affliction, he sought the Lord. We sometimes question, amen, the goodness of God when we're in affliction. David said before he was afflicted, before he was afflicted, amen, that he walked, amen, in rebellion again. But when he was afflicted, he recognized his sin and he repented unto God, and God forgave him his sin, amen. And God wiped away, amen, the stain. Hallelujah. I'm glad tonight that we serve a God, amen, that no matter what we have done, no matter where we have been, that he is willing and he is able to forgive us of our sin if we're willing to call upon his name. Amen. He's able to save the most evil, the most wretched, amen, among us if we'll just call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. He was involved in all kinds of immoral acts. Sacrificed one of his own sons in the fire unto a foreign god. Set up pagan idols and altars to the many gods in the temple compound. He committed the murders of many innocent people, amen, that resisted his policies. And he ignored the voice of God. Even when he was sinning, even when he was running from God, amen, God was still pleading with him and still trying to turn him around and make him to understand that there was a better way, if only that he would pursue after it. I'm talking about the goodness and the severity of God. Even when we don't deserve His mercy, God is merciful. Even when we are wandering far from His place of worship, God is still there. Amen. We cannot hide from God. He's a God that reaches out ever still and draw us into His presence that we might have communion with Him. Hallelujah. Manasseh was an evil, he was a wicked man. Then I also read something in the scripture that also astounded me, and it's found in the book of Jeremiah, if you want to go there with me. Jeremiah the prophet records some very unusual words, amen, for a God that is merciful. Come and believe in the mercy of God. Amen. God was merciful to Manasseh. Even though he was the most wicked of all the kings that had ever reigned. Amen. Upon the throne of his father David. When Manasseh cried out to God in repentance, he heard Manasseh's prayer. And Manasseh repented of his great wickedness. And he restored the worship of the Most High God. He cleansed the temple. And he declared that no one should worship any god but the one true God of Israel. Hallelujah. God heard the prayer of Manasseh. There was something that stopped me. It caused me to do a double take when I read Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the 14th chapter, the 11th verse. Jeremiah said, "Then the Lord said unto me, do not pray for this people, for their good. Do not pray for this people, for their good." This is the same God that heard the prayer of a wicked man and was able to forgive him. And did forgive him. God said, "I don't want you to pray for this people. And when they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them." You see, it's not about, amen, accepting the Lord. It's about Him accepting you. I hear a lot of preachers this day and age that say, you know, that if you want to serve God, accept the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about you accepting Him. It's about Him accepting you. Jesus said, "Except you repent." He said, "Do you think that these men were more wicked than any other men? Those the tower fell on? That they were more wicked than all the other men of Israel?" He said, "No, but except you repent, you shall likewise perish." You don't have to be a serial killer. You don't have to commit some terrible and loathsome act in order to come under the judgment of God and to be cast into hell. Except ye repent. It doesn't matter what your crime is. It doesn't matter what people think about you. It doesn't matter how many good works that you do. Except ye repent, ye will perish. Amen. Except ye repent, you're going to die. God said, "I will not accept their burnt offerings, but I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence." Those that the sword doesn't devour, the famine will get. And those that the famine doesn't get, the pestilence will overtake them. Because you cannot hide from God. Amen. David said, though I ascend into the heights, amen, God is there. And though I descend into the lowest bowels of the earth, amen, into the very bowels of hell, he said, God is there. There's nowhere that you can hide, amen, from the righteous judgment of a righteous and holy God. Every knee is going to bow and every going to confess. Amen, before Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen, God said, I won't even hear their prayers. He said, Jeremiah, I don't even want you to pray for them. That's strong language. Amen. That's strong language. But I'm talking about the goodness and the severity of God. As much as God loves humanity, God hates sin. Amen. Israel professed God with their lips, but he said their heart was far from me. Do you know God knows when you're sincere and when you're not sincere? My mother knew too. And so did Brother Grissom's mother. Hallelujah. Moms have a way of knowing whether we're telling the truth. Yeah. Amen. You can run, but you can't hide. There were times that I ran and I tried to hide. But I knew the long arm of Mama was coming. But there's somebody greater than Mama. And I'm not talking about Daddy. I'm talking about your Heavenly Father. He knows the secret things. I said, He knows everything about us. Amen. His word is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Divider, soul and spirit, the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. God didn't just judge the act. God judges the intentions. God judges what's in our mind and what's in our spirit. Come on now. Amen. God knew that they weren't really repentant. God knew that they didn't really want to serve Him. They didn't want, amen, to come under His rod of judgment. Amen. They weren't sorry for what they had done, but they were sorry that judgment was going to come. And so God said, I'm not going to hear your prayer. I'm not going to accept your offerings. I'm not going to accept your plea. Amen. But I'm going to give you to the sword. I'm going to give you to the famine. I'm going to give you to the pestilence. Because I am a God. Amen. That cannot look upon iniquity. I am a consuming fire. I am a holy God. And I will have a holy people. Amen. Not one sinner is going to enter heaven. Amen. You read what the book says. There ain't going to be any liars in heaven. Amen. I said there's not going to be any liars in heaven. I don't know about you, but I somehow have this. It's not a revelation. But I believe there's probably a whole lot more people that are guilty of lying than there are stealing. There's probably a whole lot more people that are guilty of lying than they are about killing. There are people that, there are a lot more people, amen, guilty of lying than they are adultery. Ain't going to be no liars there. Amen. Ain't going to be no idolaters. Hallelujah. Amen. There ain't going to be, amen, any kind of sinner, amen, in heaven except those that have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. There's going to be people as wicked as Manasseh. Amen. That it caused Israel to sin. Amen. More than all the kings of the Amorites. There are going to be some filthy sinners there. There's going to be some harlots. There's going to be some drug pushers. There's going to be some molesters. There's going to be some evil people. That's going to be in heaven because they've been sanctified. They've been justified. Amen. They've been made perfect by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Can you say, praise the Lord? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. The goodness and the severity of God. Amen. And then it went on to read in Jeremiah, the 15th chapter, the first verse. And then the Lord said to me, even if Moses and Samuel stood before me. Now, there's some good intercessors. How many would like to have a Moses or Samuel to go to God for you? Oh, thank God for intercessory prayer. Amen. I thank God for some moms and some dads that know how to get down on their knees and pray. Amen. For their wayward sons and daughters. Amen. That know how to travail before God. But God said, though Moses and Samuel. My, my, my. That even if Moses and Samuel stood before me, my mind would not be favorable toward this people. Amen. My mind could not be toward this people. Amen. I'm not going to change my word, amen, to justify them. God's not going to change His word to accommodate us. Amen. Except we are changed to be like Him, we're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. He said, I want you to cast them out of my sight. Get them out of here. And let them go forth. Amen. That's what God said. And it shall be if they say to you, where shall we go? Then you shall tell them, such is for death to death, and such is for the sword to the sword. And such is for the famine to the famine. And as such is for the captivity, amen, to the captivity. And I will appoint over them four forms of destruction, says the Lord. The sword to slay. The dogs to drag. The birds of the heaven and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. And I will hand them over to trouble. And to all kingdoms of the earth. Because, oh my goodness. Because of Manasseh. Manasseh, who caused Judah to sin. You see, Manasseh, amen, recognized the error of his way. Manasseh cried out to God, and God heard his prayer. Do you understand that Manasseh repented unto God? Manasseh, amen, acknowledged that there was only one God. He destroyed the idolatry that was in the temple that polluted the house of God. He cleansed it and restored true worship. He ended his days as a servant of God, a worshiper of the one true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But because of the seeds that he had sown, an entire nation of people was damned for destruction. It's not just you that you've got to be concerned about. You might get forgiveness. God might restore your life. But what about the lives that you have destroyed because of your frowardness, because of your rebellion against the Lord, because you would not listen to the voice of God. You would not listen to the pleading of the Spirit because of Manasseh and what he did. I will not hear these prayers. For who will have pity on you? Verse 5. For who will have pity on you, O Jerusalem? Or who will bemoan you? Or who will turn aside to ask how you are doing? For you have forsaken me. The next verse. For you have forsaken me, saith the Lord. You've gone backward. Therefore I'm going to stretch out my hand against you and destroy thee, because I am weary with repenting. You have wearied me because of your constant backsliding. That I will not hear your prayers. That I will not withhold my judgment. Because you love me, but with a feigned love. You serve me, but not with a pure heart. You call upon me, but not in sincerity. Because that you were not willing, amen, to turn from your wicked ways. Neither will I look upon you or have pity upon you. In fact, the Bible says there's going to come a day, and I'm closing with the musicians come, that God said he would laugh at the calamities of the wicked. Because when they could have known forgiveness, they rejected his forgiveness. When they could have known his grace, they rejected his grace. God is willing to forgive anyone and everyone. There's only one sin that is unforgivable. The only one sin, amen, for which there is no point of return, and that's the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Because except the Spirit draw you, you cannot be drawn. You deny the Holy Ghost, you deny the only avenue to God. There's only one way to God. That's by the leading of the Spirit. You deny the Holy Ghost, you deny the only one that can redeem you. The only avenue by which you can be reconciled unto God. He heard the prayer of Manasseh and he forgave him. That's the mercy of God.
That's right.
That's the goodness of God. Oh, what a wonderful God. That as evil as Manasseh was, and Manasseh had blood on his hands, that God was willing to forgive him because Manasseh was sincere in his repentance. But the nation that turned aside from serving the Lord, amen, they were not sincere in their repentance. And so God rejected them, even the whole multitude. Behold the goodness and the severity of God. I want you to know that there's more people that are going to go to hell than's going to go to heaven. See, Brother Hart, that doesn't sound like a good God. That is the God of mercy and grace. Amen. There is a way of life. Jesus said, I am that way. There is a door. There is an escape from judgment. And Jesus came and died. That's how much Jesus loved you. Jesus knew that without grace, that no one could be saved. Amen. Jesus knew without someone to pay the price, that there could be no redemption. And He came and died on the cross. He came and gave His all that you might be spared from the agony and the destruction of hell. I want you to know that hell is a real place. Amen. The Bible says it's a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. Amen. One day the devil is going to be bound and he's going to be cast alive into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. I want you to know that hell is a real place tonight. I'm telling you, hell is real. If you believe there's a heaven, I want you to know as surely as there's a heaven, there's a hell. As surely as there's an up, there's a down. As surely as there's a right, there's a wrong. There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But there is a way. There is a way of escape. And Manasseh, in his affliction, amen, in his torment, in his struggle, he found redemption. In his tortured life, he found that there really was a God, that He really was willing to forgive even a sinner like him. Amen. I want you to know that you have not gone too far to know the love of God. If God could save Manasseh, He could save any one of us. If God was willing to reach down, amen, and to take away the guilt and the shame of a wicked man like Manasseh, that God's able to take your life and restore you and to give you hope and to give you life and salvation. Hallelujah. There is a place of refuge tonight, and that refuge is Jesus Christ. Would you stand? Those that would you make your way to the altar? If you want to renew your relationship with God, or if you want to meet Him for the very first time, I want to invite you to come and to kneel before Him and to ask Him to forgive you and to come into your life tonight. Hallelujah. There are people coming. There's people coming. Hallelujah. Don't be the one of those that's left behind. Don't be one of those that hesitates. Amen. Make your way. Run to the altar. Make your way however you can get here. That God is merciful. He is a gracious God. And He's willing to save you. He's willing to forgive you. God bless you in Jesus' name.